first hymn will be 339. Let's do the three short verses and then the chorus. That is the third verse.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord, vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior, vainly they feel the dead, Jesus, my Lord, death cannot keep his grave, Jesus, my Savior, he bore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord, on the great he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foe, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Right across the page, in 3-4.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha. There to lay down his life for me.
There's no stars here. Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving, and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you for giving unto us another day. We know it was you that rise us from our beds this morning. Breathe in the breath of life into our lungs, Heavenly Father. Allowing us to enjoy another day, to enjoy the beauty and the splendor of this world that you have created, Heavenly Father. Allowing us to come together and to partake in this worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. And we're also thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for the strength that you provide for us, for your guidance, for being by our side, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for, you know, just whatever we go through, whatever issues that we face, problems that we face, no matter if we have any doubts or fears, Heavenly Father. And we're so grateful that we can bring these problems to you, pray to you, Heavenly Father, and that you will always uplift us and give us a brighter day, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful to you for that, Heavenly Father. We're also thankful, Heavenly Father, for being with each and every one of us, for being with this world, Heavenly Father, as we have been through this pandemic for the last year, almost year and a half, Heavenly Father. And we've seen the devastation that it's caused, how it has turned our lives upside down, Heavenly Father. We know that you have been with all the families that have lost loved ones because of this COVID-19, Heavenly Father. We know that you help those that have been sick and recover, Heavenly Father. We know that it was through the power of prayer that you brought people through them through that difficult sickness, Heavenly Father. And as we can look and see that things are starting to look up, Heavenly Father, we know that is you. And it is you that is going to bring us through this. And we know that it is you that is going to make everything normal, Heavenly Father, so that we will be able to come together, gather together with friends and families, that we can gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we'll be able to partake in the worship service the way in which we want to, Heavenly Father. And we are so looking forward to that day, Heavenly Father. I also pray that you would be with all those that are mentioned sick. We know that our health is important to us, Heavenly Father, and we pray that you will be with those that are tending to their needs so that they may be returned to their much wanted health. Be with those that have lost loved ones, Heavenly Father, that you continue to comfort them as they deal with this loss, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that you will be with any that may be traveling at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will keep them safe, that they will get safely to their destination and return safely unto us. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin as he has prepared the lesson for us this morning. So thankful for his ability to be able to step in the absence of our brother Skippy, for the time that he put into putting this lesson together, Heavenly Father, and we pray that we would give him our much undivided attention, that which he brings forth in this lesson, that we'd be able to apply to our daily lives. Continue to be with the leaders of this congregation, Heavenly Father, as they continue to monitor the situation with this pandemic, as they continue to keep us safe. And we pray that you would be with all those that volunteer every morning, Heavenly Father, to do the things that they do for us to keep us safe. And we're so thankful unto them for that, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to watch over us as we prepare to begin this brand new week, Heavenly Father. Pray that we will continue to set the right example, the example that you have laid forth for us, Heavenly Father, that we continue to do the things that that we know will be pleasing in thy sight. We pray that you will help us to, if we encounter any problems, to deal with them in the way that a Christian should, Heavenly Father. And that you would just continue to watch over us, continue to guide us, Heavenly Father. Watch over us. Keep us safe. For all these things we pray for, in thy son Jesus' name, amen.
Continuing to prepare for the Lord's Supper and communion service, let's sing number 344. 344, first and last verse.
Why did the Savior heavenly and come to earth below?
We now come to that portion of our service where we remember that great sacrifice given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on that cruel, cruel cross at Calvary. He did this because he loved us so. He took our sins to the cross with him. And we remember that great sacrifice by the taking of his Lord's Supper. Behold us, we have the emblem of that holy feast. We have the bread which represents his body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, in thinking in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that great sacrifice that he made on that cross at Calvary. Father, we ask that at this time, that as we take of this bread, Father, we do so in the way that's pleasing unto thee, but also in a way that, Father, that is worthy of thee. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father. for this opportunity to partake of this Lord's Supper, to remember that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father. His willingness to give his life on that cross, to endure the punishment that he had to endure, Heavenly Father. And we so are thankful for his love to become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. And we pray at this time that as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents his most precious blood, we pray that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As always, it's our desire here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ to make sure that all who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper have an opportunity to do so. If for any reason you have been overlooked, we wish you would signify by raising your hand. Seeing no hands at this time, we move to another portion of our service, that is of giving. Let us now give thanks for that opportunity. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you once again, Father, first and foremost, thanking you so much for the many, many blessings that you've already given us, Father. And we thank you for the love that you've given us, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to give back a small portion of what you have so greatly given us, Father. And we ask, Father, that as we do so, Father, it's in a way that is pleasing unto you, Father, not grudgingly or out of necessity. For your word says that God loves a cheerful giver. We do this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
song of invitation as of the lesson this morning will be number 10 in the black book. Number 10 in the black book. And before our lesson and our scripture reading, let's turn and sing number 365. 365. If you stand as we sing the song, if you can.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Scripture reading for this morning's sermon will be from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Again, that's going to be the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'll be reading from the King James Version. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Always good to be in the Lord's house. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health, strength, to be able to be here today. It's only by the grace of God that we are here and that we are even alive. As you may know or may not know, Brother Skippy and Carolyn are away today for a graduation. They are in Texas. So let's keep them in prayer that they can have a good trip while they are there and a safe trip home. Someone has suggested that when it is all said and done, there's usually more said than done. I think the Lord may have had that possibility in mind when he uttered the words in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, when he said, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There is emphasis on the same message in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21, where he says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those verses remind us that the Lord expects us to be doers and not just hearers only of the word of God. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, in the final consummation of all things, the Lord can ask us about the things that we have heard, will hold us accountable for the things we would have heard if we had listened. You know, sometimes we turn off the truth. Don't want to hear it. When we hear teachings that conflict with our own beliefs, we think that we can just turn it off, and that's the end of it. But it's still the truth. And we'll still be held accountable for it, even if you decide not to listen. We are very honored today to have all of you with us, especially our guests, all of our visitors, those who are not members of the body of Christ. We want to let you know that you are our honored guest. The doors of the Cross Street Church of Christ always swing open on welcome hinges for you and for yours. And we hope you feel as welcome as you really are here with us today. So we are delighted to have you with us because we want you to come back again, visit with us at another time. The lesson today is really an investigation of the Word of God. So we hope everyone has come with open hearts, receptive minds, in order that we may receive with meekness Word of God that can save our souls. We're going to be studying from the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to John, read into your hearings were verses 1 through 9. I want to begin this lesson in verse number 5, John chapter 5, verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. I want to, for a few moments today, talk about the subject, receiving peace in a pool. Receiving peace in a pool. That's our tag for the text on today. There was in Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool with an unusual reputation. It was a pool that had gained the reputation of having healing qualities. So much so that the despondent, the hopeless, the desperate would gather there waiting for the moving of the waters. This pool was called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which literally meant the house of mercy. It was a forerunner of our modern nursing home. It was a complex of 5 porches where people would gather to wait on the moving of the water, because they had been led to believe that an angel had come down at a certain season and troubled the water. And whosoever first stepped in after the troubling of the water could be healed of whatever disease he had. The porches were built in order to keep the people near the pool. The porch had no power. The power that they were looking for was in the pool at that time. But it is important to note that the powerful presence of God was in the pool. The real healing was the presence of God in the pool. The pool means nothing unless God touches it. The bottom line is the healing is in the hand of God. So it is important today to keep in mind as we look at this narrative, because into this house of mercy walked Jesus the Christ. And hopelessness and helplessness was never the same. You know, that's the way it usually is when the Lord shows up and is allowed to work. When Jesus walked into this house of hopelessness and helplessness, it was never the same. And he singles out a man who had been sick for 38 long years. It is important today, as we go through this lesson, to underscore 3 words in this narrative that this entire sermon is built upon. It's important to underline those 3 words. They're right there in verse number 4. It says, For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever. That's the first word. Then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of. What's the word? Whatsoever. So I want to deal with whosoever, whatsoever, and whensoever. I think that if we get an appreciation for those three words, we'll have a message that can bless our souls. I want to talk about a provocative whosoever. Second thing I want to do, I want to deal with a powerful whatsoever. And then thirdly, a profound whensoever. It all starts with John stating that there was at the house of mercy a multitude of impotent folk. And he said these people were powerless, weak, withered, because they were blind, some were halt, and some were withered. And into this house of mercy walked Jesus the Christ. And as he steps into this scene of misery, there's a whole sea of people before him. And he singles out a man. He singled out a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. He discovers a 38-year case. This man was possessed with some malady, some feebleness, some weaknesses. The Lord singled him out to give us hope. I said, the Lord singled him out to give us hope. Because if the Lord can help someone with a 38-year problem, certainly he can help us with our problem. Now, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I am suggesting that the scripture says, whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever he steppeth into the water. Today can be your day of a new beginning. If we can ever have ingrained in our hearts, in our minds, that whosoever, now that's a provocative whosoever, because there's no exclusion for finding healing. Does not matter who you are. That's why it says, whosoever, Jew or Gentile. No gender exclusion, male or female, whosoever. No social exclusion, young or old, have or have nots, rich or poor, middle class, low class, high class, and no class. Does not matter who you are, whether you are the blind, withered, or the halt, whosoever. Whether you are the homeless living in a cardboard box, whosoever. Whether you're living in a tent, whosoever. Whether you are a royalty living in a palace, whosoever. Whether you are a slum dweller living in a housing project, whosoever. Can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever, steppeth into the water. Thank God for a provocative whosoever. The gospel invitation for spiritual healing is for whosoever. You know, we don't know all there is to know about each other's personal lives. But this we do know. It's a matter of fact that all of us are sick with something. It may be a physical sickness, maybe emotional sickness, maybe spiritual sickness. Some are spiritually blind. Some are emotionally lame. Some are morally paralyzed. But whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, because Jesus put a pool of healing in the house of mercy. And whosoever can be healed of any hurt, any habit, or any hang-up. Every person that you and I meet on the street, at work, at play, or even at church. Every person has to overcome some hurt, some habit, or some hang up. I don't know what your whatsoever is today. Your whatsoever may be a hurt. Most of us have had some. You may still be trying to get over some. If your whatsoever is a hurt, the good news of the gospel is that whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. If you are hurt today, your hurt has come from one of three sources: either critical people, conquering problems, or controlling circumstances. Now, think about it. If you are hurt, it's probably the result of one of three things: critical people, and you know that's the worst kind, especially when that person is close to you. That ought to be the person that's encouraging you, that ought to be building you up but knocking you down, that ought to be helping you to stand up but knocking you to your knees. That's a horrible hurt. Some of us don't get encouragement from home. Some of us don't get encouragement from our physical family. We don't get encouragement from work. The only place that some of us get encouragement is here in the house of God, body of Christ. That's why we have to be kind to everybody that we meet, because all of us are having a hard time. I said all of us are having a hard time. If you're not having a hard time, then that means the devil isn't bothering you. And if the devil isn't bothering you, we already know why the devil isn't bothering you. Because you don't run to catch a bus you're already riding. If the world, the flesh, and the devil are not causing you to have a hard time, could mean that you are already on the devil's side. That's why the Bible talks about, we all not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we need the encouragement. We need the encouragement that comes from building up one another. So if you are hurt today, it could be from critical people. We just hope those critical people are not at church, because you ought not catch that at home, at work, and at church too. Right. If your hurt is coming from conquering problems, the only reminder is that when you have a problem that is bigger than you are, you have a problem that's bigger than you are for a reason. Force you to look at a power that's bigger than you are. When you get to the end of yourself and you can't do anything for yourself, you need a power that's bigger than yourself. And that's a job for the Lord. That's why there are some things we just have to lay at the feet of the Lord. So if you hurt as a result of critical people or conquering problems or even controlling circumstances, we need to be able to cast our burdens at the feet of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Trials are inevitable. If you live long enough, you're going to have some. That is, if you're a man, a woman, son, or daughter. Trials are inevitable. I mean, Job reminds us that a man is born of a woman is but a few days. He goes on to say those few days are full of trouble. Trials are inevitable. But misery is optional. I don't have to choose to be miserable. I can bring all my trials and tribulations and lay them at the feet of Jesus. I can get rid of my hurt. Because whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. What is your whatsoever? Maybe your whatsoever is a habit. I know that when we hear the word habit, you're already thinking about drug addiction, but that's not the habit that most of us have. In fact, some think that's the only habit that's going to cause trouble at the gate. But what about anger, resentment, bitterness? Some would like to think that nobody's addicted to anything but drugs or alcohol or smoking, but what about envy, immorality, lying, slander, gossip, backbiting, procrastination, irresponsibility, pride, manipulation, fault finding? Whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. So I don't care what your habit is today. The good news from the text is whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. Now, hold on. I know I haven't gotten to you yet. All right. Because you don't have any hurts, according to you. You don't have any hang-ups, no habits. Well, let's explore. Maybe your hang-up has to do with verbal or physical abuse. You know, I don't care how aggravating and how provocative the person you live with is, you never have any moral right to hit another adult. Whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. Sometimes we forget that a verbal lick can be just as devastating as a physical brick. You don't beat up on your spouse, but you talk bad to them, talk down to them every day. You know, you have no moral right to try to attempt to destroy another person. The scripture still says, whosoever can be healed of whatsoever. There's still healing water, healing power in that water. Maybe you're not caught up in ethical hang-ups like lying and stealing and embezzlement and divorcing for any cause. I said divorcing for any cause. I got some body language then. Okay. You know what? We have become so caught up in the conveniences of this world that members of the Lord's body now marry and divorce for any cause. That's your choice. It's the remarriage part that's going to cause trouble at the gate. So if you decide to divorce for any cause, you better decide to stay single for the same cause. Maybe your hang-up has to do with doctrinal hang-ups. I can hear somebody say, well, brother minister, I just can't get ready for this one church stuff. I mean, my hang-up is I just can't see why we all have to be members of the same church. I mean, church is a church. You go to your church. I go to my church. We both serve God. And we're both on our way to heaven. And the Lord's going to cut us some slack because he knows we're trying to serve him. Well, a person who has that kind of doctrinal hang-up does not understand what the church is. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, read the whole chapter, you'll get it. Because there are a lot of people who refuse to get into the water because they cannot understand the exclusive nature of New Testament Christianity. They've been so caught up in that McDonald's brand of religion, you know, that there's a church here and a church there. Here church, there church. Everywhere you turn, there's a church. Some have come to the conclusion that it really doesn't matter. Problem with the New Testament church. Some say the problem with the Church of Christ. And this is a hang up for some people. Some folks say, you folk act like you're the only ones who preach from the Bible. That's not the central issue, because we are not the only church that preached from the Bible. Every church has to preach some truth. I mean, you could not be a church if you didn't preach some truth. But you know, even the broke clock on the wall is right twice a day, right? But do you really want a clock that's only right twice a day? When I buy a clock, I want a clock that's right every hour on the hour. When I belong to a church, I don't want a church that preaches some truth. I want a church that preaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't want a church that preaches from the Bible. I want to make sure that the church I'm a member of is in the Bible. The word of the gospel is, whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever he steppeth into the water. And the good news about the New Testament church is, we don't have to wait for that once a year for the water to get stirred. The Lord stirred the water over 2,000 years ago, and every day is baptismal day in the house of mercy. Whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever he steppeth into the water. Because baptism still does things for us that it did 2,000 years ago. Baptism gives us forgiveness of sin, Acts 2:38. The Bible lets us know that we have to repent. We have to be baptized for the remission of sin. Baptism remits our past sins. Baptism does things for us. It remits, it removes, it cleanses our sins, washes them away when we step into the water. Baptism puts us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way to get into Jesus Christ is to be baptized into him. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put Christ on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Baptism puts us into the body of Christ. For by one body are we all baptized into how many bodies? One body. Because whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever he steppeth into the water, that's why and how we can find the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. If you're not at peace with God, if you're not at peace with God, if you are still in your sins, the only way to get out of that sin, whosoever can be healed of whatsoever, whensoever, steppeth into the water. The healing takes place when you step into the water and are baptized. Well, that's it. You've heard his word. You need to understand that Christ died, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the scripture. Repent, confess, be baptized. That's how you get into Christ. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but have strayed away, been unfaithful, done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back today? So, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make a choice for Jesus today. While together, we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning to come and worship thee. We ask thee, dear Lord, that the things that we have heard, we'll take them to heart and live them accordingly. Heavenly Father, those that are traveling and that are not with us today, we ask that next Sunday, the next time we're meeting here, that they will be here with us. Heavenly Father, as we go through the rest of this day, and the rest of this week, that we will remember that only through your Son, Jesus Christ, we only have hope. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.